This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Oh my, it has been a crazy kind of week, from blue moons to sad faces, billions of dollars in damage thanks to a hurricane named Idalia that is whipping through the tail end of its course through the United States and the Carolinas and will go off into the Atlantic, thank goodness, after dropping a whole bunch of chaos on a lot of people. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for hanging with us on this show. I was right in the center of that storm, and a day later, looking at some of the damage along the Gulf Coast, which was pretty extensive for so many people. And now it's about that. It's about assessing how much damage and what's left with the communities where they have to dig out, pick through the rubble of lost homes and scattered belongings, and FEMA on the scene and doling out cash to the people impacted by it. And then those who are just lucky, like my friends in Tallahassee listening to this show in the final hours right before Hurricane Idalia, you know, hit landfall. It stopped intensifying, and it turned from Tallahassee. We had so many students that were on that Florida campus that would have been hit by that. So the choices that a hurricane makes, that cone of uncertainty, is the scariest thing of all when you look at it. You have no idea what could be coming your way. And, of course, it was the Big Bend coast area that it hit, and people there were hit the worst of anybody, and by the time it hit landfall. And then it was about storm surge with the high tide, and we've talked about that, and it was just catastrophic. The losses from the hurricane expected to top $10 billion. $10 billion, my friends. There you go. The president is expected to come down and tour parts of Florida to see the damage firsthand. This on the heels of going to Maui and Lahaina and looking at what happened there, where it's still sad tales of some missing people and well over 115 people declared dead as a result of those fires weeks and weeks ago, and changing the face of a really pretty historic town. And people are finding in these gorgeous coastal towns that beach erosion is going to change the face of some of the beaches, and there are some restaurants and some stores that are going to have to really assess whether they can reopen, and if they do, how long is that going to take to make that happen. The big news on the day, really a couple of things, is, you know, these January 6th cases, but this was the biggest. The Proud Boys leader, Joe Biggs, sentenced to 17 years in prison in the January 6th case. Like I said, so many people have now had their day in court, so to speak, and the this was a big one. I mean, this was one that took some time to play out. There was a second member of the Proud Boys, somebody who was a Marine, and the president of the local Philly chapter, who was also sentenced to 15 years. So initially, prosecutors had asked for Biggs to get 33 years in prison, nearly double the longest sentence a defendant has received related to the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack, arguing that Biggs and his co-defendants intentionally positioned themselves at the what he called vanguard of political violence in this country. So it's still a hefty sentence, and it is the second longest sentence handed down for a defendant convicted as part of the Capitol attack. Oath Keeper leader and founder Stuart Rhodes got the longest sentence so far, 18 years in prison. But all five Proud Boys were found guilty of other charges related to January 6th, including obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to prevent an officer from discharging any duties, obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder, destruction of government property, aiding and abetting. You get that, what I'm talking about. This is one that has really taken some time to try out and, you know, to try this whole thing. And now it's a wrap, and they're getting to the point where there's still more people that have the process in court to go through. And there's even some people that are being identified, but, so it's not completely over yet at this point. Somebody said to me, no matter what some of these political views are, do you think we'll ever see anything like what we saw on January 6th? And boy, I hope not. But there's families torn apart on all ends of this thing. And think of the families, too, of some of the people that got wrapped up into it and found themselves in the middle of a situation of the mob, that whole mentality, and being swept into it and not even really realizing what it was going to turn out to be. And I've talked to some of those families, pretty rough on some of those kids. And obviously, we saw what happened with the Capitol Police, a couple of suicides, Officer Sicknick, and the fact that he died, which was just absolutely terrible. Nobody, I don't care what your political views, wants to see any of that kind of thing happen. All right, speaking of days in court, the Georgia judge has said, and we're talking about Fulton County, in the Trump hearings, the trial is going to be live streamed through YouTube, via YouTube, and also that reporters can use recording devices to take notes on, that kind of thing. And there's going to be a pool camera for national broadcasts. So there's going to be a lot of people that I think are going to be watching it. What was the line from NBC, one year must-see TV? You can bet that many people are going to be curious as to who testifies, how it plays out, all the different defendants, because you're talking about, you know, 19 different people, and that's a lot. And so watching that in March, I think it's going to take certainly some time to see that all play out. And what will the jury decide? Mm-mm-mm. One other note about Idalia is that power was out, right? 170,000 people in Georgia and Florida lost power. We got zapped. We got little hits where I was, and we were surrounded by people that lost power in Pinellas County and Hillsborough and so many of those areas in the Gulf Coast region. And Florida had the most outages where, you know, as of 3:30 in the afternoon on Thursday, 90,764. Georgia, 80,000 plus. So power was just slowly kind of restoring to the state. It's about grid technology, and some of the grid technology really worked, and some of it it took a little bit longer. You think about how many people. Tampa Electric had about 3,000 workers from other utilities, including line crews, tree trimmers, and damage assessors, to be able to get out there and deal with what had happened with the weather. Coming up, college football. Some big ones happened on Thursday. A big one. We're going to talk about that, plus more NFL conversation coming up in the Man Cave.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
We're in the man cave, and there's some football to talk about. How about Utah giving Florida a big surprise? 24-11, the Utes beating the Gators. Bryson Barnes with a 70-yard touchdown bomb to Money Parks on the first play of the game. Also rushing for another score, and the number 14 Utes beat Florida in the opener for both teams. What a huge, huge game for them. Florida hosts McNeese on September 9th, Utah at Baylor on September 9th. That's next for them. So it's a full week of action in college football. I know I've talked about some of the other games that are coming up, but that was certainly one of the big ones that people were talking about that they were going to watch because it had the potential to be a really decent game. And, of course, if you were an alum from either school, you were absolutely watching. This week in the NFL, coming up, we're going to have Nail the Score next Tuesday in our first segment, not first segment, in our first hour. Last segment of the hour, you call in or email us during that segment, and you can win some serious, awesome prizes. I was just looking at them today, hoping that we're going to have a winner, maybe a couple winners. You never know. There's always that potential because of all the weeks we have in the great game of football in the NFL. And it all starts on the 7th with the Lions and the Chiefs. And then, of course, everything else rolls out. One of the games that I think, and I've talked about this a little bit, that there's going to be some eyes on that maybe won't be fans of either team are going to be the Jets and the Bills. The Jets are the Hard Knocks team on HBO that a lot of people are watching because you get that glimpse behind the scenes. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, that makes it pretty intriguing to see what's going to happen with him after all those years with Green Bay, although he has some of his favorite friends there with him, like Randall Cobb, and also now some really young receivers and running backs getting used to new systems. The Cowboys and the Giants, that's also an interesting one, too. You know what's really interesting is you've got on Sunday, because the Monday game is the Bills and the Jets at MetLife. But the day before, and that's a night game, the day before you have the Cowboys and the Giants, NFC rivals, to start off the year. And that's at MetLife Stadium because the Giants and the Bills, I mean, the Giants and the Jets share the same stadium. The Eagles, who lost in the Super Bowl last year to the Chiefs, they take on the Patriots in Foxborough. And, of course, there's some new faces on the team, but they have one of the highest-paid quarterbacks, period, in the NFL. And what's this next year going to be like for him? There's a lot of different storylines that are exciting in the beginning of the year, and I think it takes a couple games in to see what kind of rhythm, I call it a rhythm, that the teams kind of adopt on offense and defensively. I mean, there's coaching moves that happened. There's some really interesting things that affect the outcome of games, and we're going to see that play out as we get ready for the next season, the season that's coming up. So pretty exciting. I think, to me, it's one of the most exciting at times period of the year in the very, very beginning. All right, I'm going to rip through a couple of interesting scores. The Tigers and the Yankees in Comerica Park, Michigan. Tigers beat the Yankees 4-3. So, you know, if you're a Tiger fan, this is something to cheer about. You know, there were certainly some highlights here because at one point New York was trailing 3-0 in the ninth, and then there was the 3-run opposite field homer, and that, you know, had fans a little bit on edge. Detroit, though, in the end made it happen. They ended a 5-game losing skid, so kudos to them for pulling that off. The Marlins beating the Nationals. And this was played out in Washington. So Jazz Chisholm Jr. hit a 3-run homer, and the Marlins beat the Nationals. And it's the opener of a 4-game series for those two teams. The Padres, who a lot of people thought were going to be in it in the end last year, and of course getting into the playoffs, but not into the World Series. The Giants beat the Padres 7-2. That was at Petco Park. It's a fun place to go and see a game. This is a different Padres team than what we have seen before. Mike Yastrzemski homered and drove in 2 runs. How about that? Making a big difference there. Also, Jacob Junis had one big inning on offense had a big inning opener-wise, and the offense busted things open. So that was a nice win for the Giants. I mean, the Giants sent 10 batters to the plate in the third and had 5 hits and a sac fly. That's a good inning, right? That's a good inning. And the Padres, not good for them. They're coming off of a 1-5 trip through Milwaukee and St. Louis. So their hopes of going to the playoffs, that kind of took a dent in those hopes. I mean, they've been a big disappointment since reaching the NL Championship Series last year. And then they beefed up their payroll. They spent a lot of money. They have the third highest in the majors. But they're 8.5 games out of the final wild card spot, so it's not looking good for them. Doesn't mean they couldn't have some bizarre miracle run. Somebody else collapses, but not good. The Braves and the Dodgers, the best of the best. I mean, look, these are two teams that are contenders. The Braves have 88 wins. because they beat the Dodgers 8-7 at Dodger Stadium. That would have been a fun game to be at, I think, to watch this game. For the Dodgers, Mookie Betts is 2 for 4 with 3 runs, 2 homers, 4 RBI, night, but to no avail, because, like I said, Atlanta in the end prevails, and a nice win for them, another pickup for them. And, you know, they had their starter who had the right stuff, Spencer Strider. You know, they say a quality inning now is 6, you know, if you're 6 or more, and he pitched for 6 innings, and he gave up 4 hits and 9 strikeouts and a couple of walks, but he did his job, and he picks up the win, his 16th of the season, and all of that plays, that whole pitching and rest, days rest, and what happens, and all that analysis that's crunched during the year becomes so much of the fabric of what happens when you go into the playoffs, because you're looking at what happened heading into it. What were the high, you know, the high spots. So how about this? There was a lot of conversation about Justin Thomas and whether or not he should be on the Ryder Cup. So Zach Johnson is the U.S. Ryder Cup captain. And we're talking about the great game of golf. Not all of his picks for the 2023 Ryder Cup, I think, were obvious. He did pick PGA winner Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Thomas. A lot of people wanted to see him, and others thought, oh, he's having a terrible year. Are you kidding me? And Sam Burns. So he, I don't think he was looking for the hottest players. I think he was looking for the correct players that would fit together and would be the best for, you know, the Ryder Cup team in those picks anyway. I think that was the idea. I mean, I could be totally wrong on all that, but it looks that way to me. Let's put it that way. All right, coming up, a conversation with Janet Johnson Anderson about her book that will really open your eyes about trafficking and abuse, and then also the beautiful area that coincidentally Nepal happens to be. Stay with us.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Tropical Storm Idalia isn't ready to head out to sea just yet. Parts of eastern North Carolina are experiencing flash floods, and the South Santee River is under a tropical storm warning all the way to the North Carolina-Virginia state line. Idalia is expected to move out into the Atlantic Ocean later today. Former President Donald Trump is being accused of greatly overstating his net worth on financial disclosure forms. Scott Pringle has more.
New York Attorney General Letitia James filed court papers Wednesday alleging that Trump's net worth was between $800 million and $2.2 billion less each year for a decade. This is part of a civil lawsuit where James argues that because Trump allegedly lied on financial forms, the Trump Organization got better loans. James is seeking sanctions that would hurt the Trump Organization's operations in the state. Trump has called the case a witch hunt. A trial is set for October.
This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
The name of the book is Avi's Flight. We are really pleased to welcome to Author's Corner Janet Johnson Anderson. This book has received numerous accolades. The book I'm talking about is Avi's Flight. You got to think Nepal, abduction, abuse, beautiful country. It's so beautiful and bittersweet, this adventure that she takes us on. Janet, first of all, what made you write the book, and tell us what it's about?
Well, I was a board member with an organization at work in Nepal and other countries where sexual trafficking and enslavement is high. And the thing is, most people associate Nepal with namaste and hospitality, you know, a peaceful country amid the snow-capped Himalayas. But I was touched by the stories I heard and the people I met, and just felt compelled to write a story that could lend a voice to the many who are voiceless. There's so many who are abused, abducted, sold into brothels, sold into slavery, and with little recourse.
Yeah, so that was an eye-opener for you, right?
It was, in a way. It was.
And I think it's an eye-opener for a lot of other people. So you decide you're going to wrap this into the book. How do you go about writing that novel and having that approach?
Well, luckily, I had a chance to meet some of the women who run organizations in Nepal to help those women. And so I knew the background. I knew about the area. I had to choose fiction because I personally never lived in Nepal and didn't have any, quote, official authority, so I had to write fiction, but much of what I write about is truth, and the nice thing with fiction is I can wrap the point of the story in an eye-opening adventure. So while there is struggle in the book, there is beauty and relationships and, you know, discovery of people's purpose in life and group action and things like that, that if I was doing a nonfiction, it would just be fact / fact, you know.
Right.
So
you get wrapped up in the characters. And you talk about, so talk about the title Avi. Tell us about Avi and Avi's Flight.
Okay, well, Avi Thayru is a 14-year-old girl who is, in the very beginning of the book, is in an arranged marriage to be. And actually what makes the book, I think, an interesting standout is we learn in the first five sentences that she has been promised to Mr. Singh in marriage, but instead she clubs him in the head and flees with his oxen cart from the village. And so that sets the stage right away within the first paragraph. But she travels from poor countryside to the two larger cities, Pokhara and Kathmandu, and that is her journey through the countryside that sheds light on the plight of Nepali women amid a suppressive culture and a discovery of purpose beyond self.
Yeah, and that, talk about that purpose, because that's a big point in the book. Like you say, there are the horrific things that are happening, but then discovering purpose, that's something everybody's searching for, I think.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's almost a story of international advocacy. You know, she's 14, so she's kind of a coming-of-age character. And while she's aware of elements, obviously, that she wants to escape from within her own village, she meets other women who have come to safe places and learns their stories and realizes that there are things that we can all be doing that can help benefit the women and the girls of her country as well.
For you, what was the best part about taking what you knew and instead, like, as you mentioned, not having fact after fact after fact and weaving into a story with the hopes of really getting people to pay attention to what was happening with trafficking and areas that are idyllic and people love but not realizing what's going on behind the scene? What was it like for you when you actually saw the book and put it together?
Well, I was proud that I was able to do it. I was also sad because here in America, there are hundreds of thousands of women that protest for whatever the purpose is, and I certainly support them. But there are not women marching in the streets of Nepal to stand up for things. And it's a whole mindset, and I think really we need to be teaching the men these stories, because while we can say the male gender is suppressing women, well, these women grow up amid this culture and sort of buy into that thinking. So there is great gender injustice, and it is not just one-sided, and it is not just rich versus poor. It's not a class thing, although it is the poor people who are more, I want to say, taken advantage of. I mean, there are girls in the countryside of Nepal who are given away for a pig, you know, in exchange for something like that. But the whole cultural disregard for women there, as you say, was eye-opening to any woman from the Western area of the world. But there's a bittersweet, beautiful aspect of it, too, because the people love their land. You certainly read about the beauty through her eyes. You read about her very tender relationship with her brothers and her best friend, whom she has to leave behind. There's enough elements that creates the story that it's not just walking you into the door of despair, you know. So, and her decision to try to make something of herself more that she can offer herself to her fellow citizens is also very encouraging and hopeful.
Yeah, the struggle is real. That's what it is. As you're saying, there's no protest because of the culture, and it's about lifting that veil is what you found out. And the book really kind of pulls you into that idea.
Yes. I mean, you can't necessarily go to police or authority because they might be getting a kickback from the brothels, and so you go to them for help, and they end up taking you somewhere where you don't want to be. So, and this has been life for so long. Child enslavement is very typical. So it's a tough scenario to beat. And I wanted to wear Raiseness to kind of further the lines of communication because, for example, Westerners, we know you can't cross a border with a DVD that has been stolen and reproduced. You know, they're going to crack down on you. But any 40-year-old man can walk across the border with a 6-year-old girl and nobody thinks anything of it. So the only way to really address that is we have to go through legal aspects, our political systems, to recognize that there are issues and that it's important to the rest of us. They're not going to get anything accomplished in Nepal if the United States and Canada and England and Europe as a whole are not appalled by this kind of behavior.
Boy, isn't that the truth. What do you hope people take away from reading Avi's Flight?
We're speaking with Janet Johnson Anderson once again, and you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Janet, what do you hope people take away from reading Avi's Flight? What do you hope they take away from that?
Well, I hope that there's a greater understanding of the plight of women, not just in Nepal, but in other dark places of the world. We tend to get focused on our own culture and don't understand the difficulties that other people face. And so I'm hoping that this book offers a springboard for discussion that may ultimately lead to some sort of change. Americans, for example, we tend to say, oh, well, that's Nepal's problem. But it's not. If it's trafficking, those women and girls and boys end up in America. We're one of the largest consumers of trafficking. So it's not just Nepal's problem. And I have to say that before my book came out, I sent a manuscript over to the Women's Foundation of Nepal, and they endorsed the book. Their endorsement is on the back of my cover for the various work that they are currently doing, which can be setting up sewing classes so that women can learn to sew and become entrepreneurs. And you know, many of these women who, even when they escape a bad situation, can't go back to their family or their villages, they're shunned. So there are foundations in the country that are doing wonderful things, but you know, they need help and awareness. And so I was very pleased, honored to have gained their endorsement.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out. Avi's Flight is definitely an eye-opener, a book to read. Janet, thank you for coming on.
Well, it was my pleasure. I appreciate your interest.
I Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
So I'm really thrilled to welcome to the show Vicki Lynn Ashby Harris. Her book, Imagination Blast, Poems for Children. And I grew up with a father who was a poet, so I grew up with poetry from the time I was born, and I love it. There is something so relaxing. There's something that pulls you in. And I think for children, especially, like the name of the book, Imagination, think about that Imagination Blast. There is something about the lightness of it. There is something about the art, the drawings, and pulling in all of that. And she certainly does this in her book. So Vicki, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tell me about your love for poetry. How did that all start?
Well, like you said, you grew up with poetry. When I was little, I loved nursery rhymes. The rhyming words, they just caught my attention. And growing up on an island, we always had art. There was always music. There was a lot of rhythm and so forth. And by junior high, I started experiencing more of the adult poetry and, the Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou and stuff like that. And I remember how excited I used to be when I was reading little kids' poem nursery rhymes. And I wanted to create something like that. So I started exploring, doing stuff like that and writing and rhyming, and that it took off from there.
And it's so interesting because you got that taste of, wow, people are reading my words because you were just 15 and here you are in the Virgin Islands and you have your first poem published. Wow. What was that feeling like?
That was very exciting. I can believe it. And I was really nervous. I didn't think that my poem would get chosen, but it did.
Yeah.
That pretty much opened the door. And then I said, oh, well, if I did it once, maybe I could do it again. And that's pretty much how I started.
So you've written several poetry books and you've written hundreds of poems. What inspires you?
Well, usually life in general. As teenagers, you're going through so many changes. Growing up, I was very shy. I was very introverted. And poetry helped me express myself without actually having to, like, sit down and talk about it. I could just write it down and it would help me feel better just to write it down. And then it wasn't just like I was writing my feelings, but I was writing a story about myself.
And when you first started and you look back on some of those early poems to where you are now, I bet a lot has changed.
Yes.
Even in your writing style.
Yes, that is true. I look back at old poems and I'm like, ooh, I could have done better.
So now you write this book, you pull it together, these poems for children, and you call it Imagination Blast, which I love that title. How'd you come up with that? Why is it Imagination Blast?
Well, because I felt like I was using my imagination, and my goal is to get children to use their imagination as well, to just use that, develop that side of their brain, that creative side. And so I had to figure out, like, what kind of title would be really catchy to children. And I want to do something with imagination. So Imagination Blast.
And I so agree with you how important I think that is for kids. Do you think, because we both had it early, do you think it opens up your mind to the world when you're exposed to poetry and art and all of that as a young child?
Yes, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
That was my experience. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Talk about talk about what you can expect in the book. So somebody hears us talking about Imagination Blast, poems for children, which you can get Vicki's book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere where great books are sold. Tell us more about what they can expect in the book.
Well, the book is it's an activity book. I want those children reading the book to not only read, but to get involved in what they're reading. There are pictures, lots of pictures to color, which is very beneficial for them because color helps, it makes you calm. It helps you to explore yourself. And there are a lot of positive things about using colors. Also, they get to write poetry and try to develop their writing skills along with that while they're being creative and exploring their imagination.
Right. So the good thing is there's space for them to create along with you.
Yes. I didn't want them to just have a book to read, but a book to be a part of that they can build on and they can say, oh, this is my poem or this is my coloring or my drawing or something like that.
Yeah. What was it like for you to, so you grow up and you write the poetry and this is what you're trying to express in this book too for kids. You move from the Virgin Islands and now you're in Arkansas. That's a big change, isn't it?
Yes. Now I don't have hurricanes that have tornadoes.
Oh, yeah. Equally as scary as we all know, for sure. Uh-huh. Absolutely. But the key thing is, even in those situations, like kids get scared and they're in these situations that we're talking about, the mm-hmm. life situations. And you, in the book, you, as you said, you have coloring and whatnot, and they can also learn how to create their own poems.
Do you think poetry is therapeutic?
I do. I find it very therapeutic for myself, and I think it's very therapeutic for others also. Just the simple fact, the simple art of writing alone is therapeutic, because you're able to express yourself. Maybe you're not able to express them verbally, but you can write your feelings down, and there's nobody to judge you or tell you that's right or that's wrong. You just write it down.
I love that. There is no right or wrong. It's what comes out of you. So then if you've written hundreds of poems, and you've certainly done several books, it's probably hard for you to pick out your favorite poem that you ever have written, isn't it?
There's still stuff that I really connect with. Like in this book, Imagination Blast, you were asking me about my favorite poem. And I think the poem I Wish, I think that one would be my favorite, because it helps me. And when I'm reading it, it's not just reading it, it's in my mind. I'm visualizing the things in the poem, and it's expanding my creativity. And I think for children, that's the effect that I want them to have.
Oh, I like that. So could you do I Wish for us? That would be such an honor to hear that.
Yeah, sure. It's, here we go. Oh, how I wish I could fly way up in the big blue sky, chasing clouds up above, bathing in the sun's warm love. Between the trees and over rooftops, spinning around and doing flip-flops. Oh, how I wish I could fly like a bird in the sky.
I love that. It makes me think of the pelicans that I see on the beach. And when I see the formation, I feel that feeling, the I wish, that what would that be like to be in those billowy clouds, which I'm sure all of you listening can relate to when you see a day like that. What would that be like? That's an excellent one. I Wish, very, very well done. And I think we said it in this conversation, Vicki, but what do you hope kids take away, and even parents or even any adult actually could actually get the book, but if they give the book to someone, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I would like that they're able to develop their sense of writing, their emotional expression. There's we've been talking about a lot of mental health in today's society, and being able to express yourself, poetry helps you to develop that. It helps you personal growth, and it helps cultivate your mind, your vocabulary, and then the color, using and drawing, that does help you to relax, which I think is really important, that, you know, because we live in a stressful world. Kids get stressed out too.
Oh,
and
what?
Being able to get away, like art helps you to get away. You could just express yourself and just be calm and relax. And you're channeling your energy into a positive thing rather than a negative thing.
Oh, I so agree. Pick up this book. That sounds good for anybody. Imagination Blast, Poems for Children. Thank you, Vicki.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.